Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Be Radiant Radio. You are made of light and you are made to shine. Positive, uplifting, and helpful. Welcome to the show where you'll get informational and inspirational ideas on how to unleash your potential, get what you want in life, and shine like you're meant to.
Hello, I'm your host, Angela Loeb, and welcome to my program on how to achieve your goals. Or should I say it's on how to achieve your goals and have some fun doing it, because that's my goal today, to talk about how to have fun manifesting what you want. But first, I want to talk about some general aspects of goal achieving, give you a backdrop so you know where I'm coming from when I share my techniques later on. I think it's important to explain why it's a good idea to even set goals in the first place. And I want to tell you how this is how I've noticed it works over the years of working on goals. I have come to see some things that make sense to me. And, you know, it's backed up. There's a lot of great minds out there that have written about this, have taught about this, and I've looked at what they've had to say, and it just really, it all flows together pretty easily. And so I want to just kind of briefly talk to you about how I've noticed how it works. Now, let me be clear, though, first. I mean, some people think that goals are unnecessary, and I recognize that. They think maybe it's more fun to see how the journey unfolds, just go along with the ride and not try to control it. And on the other hand of the spectrum, on the other side of the spectrum, some people are so hyper-focused on achieving their goals in the way that they want them to look that they alienate themselves from others and the alternative possibilities that might unfold before them, but they're so myopic. They've got blinders on that they don't see how things can fit together in their plans. So I know that there's the extreme ends of the spectrum. One side, no goals. On the other side, you know, goals that are so tightly focused. For me, it's important to find a balance in between both. Well, I mean, I don't think my life, you know, it's in charge of me, that things are happening to me without my say-so. But I also don't think that I take charge of my life without assistance and do what I want in a vacuum. Whether we're conscious of it or not, we are co-creating our lives and what goes on in it with a higher aspect of our being. And that aspect has a better view of how things can happen and the best way to make them happen. I can take a conscious part in this process by saying what I want and being clear about why I want it. And then this other aspect that I'm plugged into and I'm part of, you can call it source, the universe, God, universal mind, the quantum field, or whatever you'd like. It takes care of the how. I know I can't know all the pieces of how things fit. I have a limited mind. I have a small point of view, ultimately. And I can't see how this is how my goal is going to be achieved exactly. So I have to let go of how it's going to be achieved. I can only do so much toward that goal. And I have to accept that I don't know, you know, it like all this other aspect, this higher aspect, this bigger universal mind does. It knows much more than I do about how the pieces fit in. So all I can do is really set the goal, be sure it doesn't conflict with the other goals I have, and then take the action that makes the most sense to me within that limited worldview that I have. So in a nutshell, what I do is express what I want clearly and confidently, do what I can toward achieving it, while also allowing it to come to fruition in the best way it can come, which is usually far better than my mind originally conceived it. And that's the secret, and it's the challenge, right? To think and act as best you can while also allowing it to manifest even better than you've imagined. So what you need to do is to define what you want and why, and then you leave the how to the external forces to go into motion. And by the way, we'll talk more about this later, but keep in mind, when you define what you want and why, it's smart to envision yourself already having achieved the goal. In his book, The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, Stephen Covey calls it, begin with the end in mind. And my favorite analogy to describe this is using the analogy of the map. In modern times, in technical terms, we have map devices like GPS and services like Google Map or MapQuest. To reach a particular destination, you need to first identify where you're going. You know, what's the address or the destination that you want to plug into the GPS or type into the Google Map or MapQuest software. And then it plots the course for you. You put the address in to the place you're trying to find, and then you're given a course or a set of directions to follow in order to reach it. And, you know, if you type in the exact information about where you want to go, it plots the course to take you there. It might even give you some alternative routes. Like if you're driving, you might see a highway with tolls, or you might see another way to go that's maybe the scenic route. It's not maybe as efficient. But it can't do a thing for you if you don't know where you're going, if you don't have some information to plug into the machine. That's why it's important to set goals. That's my point of view on this, that you need to set goals. Yes, again, there is a part of you that lets go and says, okay, I can't predict exactly how it's going to go. I might take this road that takes me to my destination, and along the way there might be some detours. They might be road construction, and they make me move off this course and go a different way in order to reach it. That happens in life, right? Those things are unpredictable sometimes because we have, like I said, a small-minded perspective, because we have small points of view as compared to what the universal mind, or like Wayne Dyer calls it, the source, when he talks about it in The Power of Intention. So it's important to set goals. You need to give your life at least a general direction to go in, or you'll wander aimlessly. You know, again, if that's what you want, enjoy the wandering. But if you're like most of us on the planet, we want some purpose and we want some direction. Even if we believe we're not in charge of our lives, that there is a God or some higher power in charge of our lives, we still have this yearning to understand where we're going. We could sit here and we could debate this, of course. You could, you know, send your desire to a higher power who grants you your wish, or maybe this higher power plants a seed of desire in your mind. And it's not really your desire, but the higher power's desire. So you'll think it's your own, and then you'll execute on it. Who knows? I mean, it could be that. Either way, to me, it doesn't matter. I mean, granted, I do agree that trying to understand what came first, the chicken or the egg, is interesting, but ultimately, it doesn't matter. What matters is that there's this alignment occurring, that you're in alignment with the co-creating part of this and co-creating the stuff of your life. For me, I've stepped into an even more responsible role regarding this alignment than I did earlier in my life. When I was a young adult, I was like most people, going wherever my life took me. I wasn't guided by any particular purpose or mission or plan, but really more by whim and my interest and by opportunities and whatever appeared before me that seemed good to take a chance on. I was basically led by others who had more experience, and in my career, by managers who were executing a plan of their own or a plan of the company that I might be working for, and I plugged into it as if it was my own plan, but it wasn't really. I mean, I didn't have a plan. I was just going along, and for the most part, it worked out well. I guess it's because I have common sense and learn from mistakes. I seldom repeat the same mistake. But also, living without a future plan did force me to follow my intuition at times. And it's a natural preference for me anyway to follow my intuition. And in the absence of experience, I learned to fine-tune my listening skills. I learned how to listen to my intuition well. So it was going pretty good, right? I mean, this is how most of us go about, especially early in our lives. This is how we go about our, you know, career and our relationships and deciding where we're going to live and that sort of thing. But when I was in the middle of my corporate career, I was asked by a manager who I greatly respected to turn in annual goals. And this was the first time I'd ever thought through that process, and it was going to become the beginning of this journey of goal achieving for me. Because every January for the next 8 years that I worked for her, I had to give her my goals for the following year. So I got into the habit of setting aside time on my birthday, which just happens to fall during the last week of the year on December 28th. And in a few years, as I kept doing this, I got into this habit of taking and arranging that day off as a personal vacation day. How convenient, right, that it was right before the new year that I'd be able to do this. And I spent it reflecting that day. I spent the whole day reflecting on what I'd done the previous year, contemplating what I'd like to do the next year. And during this annual retreat, I would set goals. I would figure out what books I wanted to read, what classes I might want to take for personal and professional growth. I looked at all areas of my life, not just my professional side. And do you know, every year I still do my birthday retreat. I also do many half-day planning retreats quarterly, In fact, I recall one really powerful mini retreat that I did in March of 2008, and it really pushed me forward because that's when I set the intention that I would complete and publish my first book. I had been writing it off and on during the previous 4 years, so wasn't really, you know, formulating this goal very well, but, you know, working on a little bit at a time. And during this mini planning retreat, I made this promise to have it out by September of that same year. And I wrote down all the action steps that I thought I needed to take, along with any of the resources that I thought I needed for each of the steps along the way. And I was determined I was going to make this goal a reality. And to stay disciplined, I put these steps into motion. I put it in my calendar. I picked realistic dates for each one. And, you know, in the end, I only was off by a few weeks because I did actually publish my book that year in October. So instead of September, I published it in October of 2008. The point is that it's very empowering as well as effective to stay focused and to set and achieve goals, to do what David Schwartz says in his book, The Magic of Thinking Big. He says, stretch your vision, see what can be, not just what is. So when I read that, I remember that being very powerful as a motivator for me. Now, today, I'm self-employed, and I have to set and achieve goals all the time, almost daily, it seems like. It takes a lot of drive and determination to be solely responsible for my own income, managing expenses and paying taxes. It's all up to me to deliver the services and the goods, to manage my calendar. My reputation is up to me to manage. I have to maintain the business. I have to keep the pipeline of business going with an eye toward the future and how I want to grow it. I have to think, I have to try new things. I have to improve on existing processes and systems. And all of that requires me to do some planning. It takes drive and determination, discipline, desire. And none of it can happen without planning and setting goals. So for me, it is critical and what I do all the time. So today I wanted to really dive into this topic a little bit more with you and talk about it, because I know I talk about going after your dreams, overcoming your fears, but there's this really, truly practical side of what I think it takes to really get there where you want to go. So today I'm going to talk about doing it in a fun way, and I'm going to take a break with you right now and absorb what I've just told you about the steps, the process of goal achieving. What does it mean for you? Take a minute to think about that. I'm going to play some music for you. And this is a good time to take a quick break. So when we come back, I want to talk about making all of this goal achieving stuff fun, because I don't think it needs to be drudgery. I want it to be fun. So enjoy a great little song. It's called Playing in the Sun by Jeff Harvey and Chris Martin. welcome back. You're listening to Be Radiant Radio, and today it's all about goal achieving and having fun with it. That's what I want to talk about next. You know, look, the premise of today's program is that we get to do what we desire in life, and we must get some goals put into place to be able to get there, to get what we desire. But really, goal setting is just a grown-up way to describe what it is that your imagination wants to create and manifest into reality. That's what we call it. You know, grown-ups call it goal setting. When we're kids, we're just like, you know, putting the candles in the birthday cake and blowing them out and having wishes, you know. So, but unlike children, we as adults get to make it happen. We get to do things toward making it happen. However, too often when we engage in the goal-setting process, we're expected to do it in rather unimaginative ways. I mean, no offense to my friends who adore creating Excel spreadsheets and everything, but that's boring to me. It's so, I don't know, corporate is the word that I can think of. That's what comes to mind. But for many people, it's hard to get excited about setting goals, and I think that's why, because they don't see it as having fun, you know. Maybe, okay, I do agree that sometimes setting goals can be daunting because you're worried they may not come true, or maybe you've tried some things and it didn't happen. But, hey, what do you have to lose by trying something fun? Now, really, I think that we've just been conditioned to dislike this process entirely, and many of us who have had to turn our goals into managers have been conditioned to think of goal setting as this unpleasant experience, especially if we're going to get chastised that we didn't reach the goal or there's some sort of failure associated with it. And the programs that I work with and deliver to people, whether it's, you know, I'm teaching aspiring business leaders or young adults who are trying to find their way beyond school, people who are seeking their life's purpose, or experienced professionals just looking for jobs that they know they qualify for and they're just challenged with reaching the goal of getting the great job. My goal is to inspire people to dive into goal achieving with enthusiasm. And I want to talk about how to do it. And I think the secret to this, of course, is making it more fun. So here are two fun techniques that I want to give you this afternoon that is going to be what I recommend. And I use these frequently myself. There are several different goal-achieving techniques that I use, but I really only have time for a couple today. So the first one is easy, easy, easy. It's get an accountability partner. In her book, Creating a Life Worth Living, Carol Lloyd has a section devoted to this idea. She says that partnering is a formalized friendship that you set up with one other person to keep you focused on the best, most important parts of your life. Yes, that's, when I first read that, I thought, yes, that's what I want, definitely. So I set about finding someone who I knew would get what I was trying to do, someone who would support my efforts and keep me focused and positive. And that was around the time I had been in business for myself for a short period of time, and I really knew that I needed extra help to stay focused because I didn't have a team of people around me anymore. It was just me, all on me. So, and of course, what made it fun, too, was that I was going to get to support that person, too. So it was give and take. So I have an accountability partner, though we don't really call each other that. We're both very self-accountable by nature. So instead, we call each other nurturing partners because we don't nurture ourselves nearly enough, and that's the kind of support we need the most. Myrna and I have been formally supporting each other since 2008, and mostly our sessions, we debrief on what's going on with each other. We brainstorm about what we think might be useful for each other to help each other. We validate each other's efforts. We really truly appreciate that because of our individual circumstances, and it's so useful to be able to have someone who you can bounce ideas off of and their objective. They're not living in your life with you, so it's not like a spouse or a spouse equivalent or a sibling or a parent or someone else that knows you so well and lives in your life with you. So that's really helpful. We have, each of us, Myrna and I, have different lifestyles. We have different goals, but we share a lot of similar sense of values. We both have a strong sense of autonomy, spirituality, personal drive, and when we support each other, there's never ever a sense of competition. It's always complete compassion and honesty and support for each other. So my experience over the years is that even if you have the drive and determination to reach your goals and you're pretty self-motivated, even if you have enough in you to go it alone, it's just so much easier and it's a whole lot more fun to have someone in the passenger seat to help you navigate the journey. Okay, so that's the first fun technique. Get a friend. Get someone to help you along. Number two, this is my absolute favorite way to envision and achieve goals, and this is something that you do by yourself. It's fun, I think, and it reminds me of the Mad Lib word games that I used to play with my daughter when she was a kid, and I used to play this with my siblings when we were kids. It works really well because it engages all of your senses, and it creates a sort of future-focused film for your mind's eye to see, and that's why I call it the filmmaker. It's a creative visualization process. Or exercise. It activates your brain so that your brain will notice what it must see in order to, you know, do what happens is you get effectively aligned with your desires. So you say, brain, notice this, and your brain notices it for you. You see, you have this built-in mechanism, and it's designed to help you get what you want. It's a messaging system. It's at the base of your skull, inside your in your brain. It's called the RAS, or the reticular activating system, and it connects the brain with the rest of the body. The RAS is what you get. It gets you. What happens is you tell it, "Hey, this is what I'm really looking for." You don't say, "Hey, RAS, this is what I'm wanting." Basically, it knows your desires. So it knows this is a desire, and if you have a lot of emotion with it, it's gonna understand that this is something that's very important to you and will point it out to you. Like, for instance, if you're buying a car or maybe a new pair of shoes, everywhere you look, you see other people driving that same car or wearing those same shoes, and you think, oh, gee, that's popular. It's just that it's a highly efficient filter, and now it's noticing for you. So this exercise works with your RAS. Remember what I said earlier, that there's really two parts to achieving your goals. The first being defining what you want and why, and then, of course, you let go of the rest of the how to the universe. But this part about the want, what you want and what and why you want it, this is the part that is fun if you're using the filmmaker. So you vividly imagine and write down what it is that you want using the best possible sensory description of what you want. So here's how the filmmaker works. It's pretty simple. You complete basically these future-focused statements that I'm going to give you with your own words. So basically, you fill in the blanks. If you're listening to this as a recording, get ready because there are going to be some places where you may want to pause and jot this down. So the first statement contains your goal and when you want to reach that goal by. So it's like the what by when. So the what by what date. So this is it. This is what I want to achieve by what date. And so it goes like this. I know I have reached my desire to, or maybe it's desire of, blank. And then you fill in the blank with whatever your goal or your desire is. And then you continue writing the statement with your time frame, the date, the future milestone, whatever. So you would write, I know I have reached my desire to blank because it's blank. So for me, I'm working on a new online course right now. So here's an example of how I might phrase my goal. I know I have reached my desire to publish my new online course because it's April 30th, 2015. So that's it. You make a statement. It's very affirmative. It's future, present to future focused, and that's what you want to do. Okay. Notice that I am using these present tense sentences. Because what you're trying to do is you're having this film going in your mind, right, showing that you're looking at yourself as your goal having already been achieved, as it's already happened. Okay, so after you state your goal as though it's already happened, then you move on by describing how you feel once you've achieved this goal by simply finishing the statement, and it feels blank. Okay, that's it. So then you just fill that in. And then the next statement is, I see myself blank. Fill in the blank. And be sure to vividly describe the scene in your mind as you imagine yourself achieving this desire. How do you see yourself once this is, what do you see yourself doing as a result of this goal having been achieved? Then use another of your senses. Finish this statement. I hear blank. Now, for this one, you might want to describe what you hear by others or by yourself as you imagine yourself achieving your desire. And the last sensory statement has to do with you seeing yourself supported in achieving this goal, okay? So figure out who it is that you'd like to share your triumph with, okay? Who do you want to celebrate with? Who do you want to talk to about your goal? And then when you get it, they're all excited for you, right? So then you can fill in their name in the blank. So the statement goes like this. When I tell blank about what's going on and what I've done, he, she, they, blank. And that last part is where you describe the reaction that you want that person that you've named or those people that you've named to have when you've already achieved your goal. So an example might be when I tell Myrna, she is excited for me, giving me a high five, and we're toasting with our coffee cups during our nurturing meeting in May. All right, so there you have it. Those are my two favorite fun ways to achieve goals, by having a mutually supportive accountability partnership that keeps me on track, and by writing vividly descriptive statements that help me see myself having already achieved what I want. So like Stephen Covey said, right, begin with the end in mind. So I'm doing it very descriptively with a lot of sensory feeling and pulling my senses into it, seeing myself do it, hearing myself do it, seeing how I'll celebrate with it, who will I tell about it, and so forth. So, and of course in this case, these two tie together because I would be celebrating it with my accountability partner. So the point is that you want to have already achieved it when you're doing the filmmaker. All right, so before we go and we wrap up today, I want to bring this home to you. I want to bring this point and make it clear. We've all got creative ability, which we use unconsciously all the time. Don't you want to consciously do it? And when it's time to consciously get creative and get goals achieved, let's not think of it as drudgery. Let's have fun with it. All right, so that's a wrap for today. Please join me next time on April 5th for the next Be Radiant Radio broadcast. The topic will be You Are What You Think. We'll take a look at some breakthroughs in neuroscience. I love neuroscience. That prove how thoughts work in the brain and the body. A fascinating subject. And it'll be an interesting program, so tune in next time. Again, thanks for listening to this program today. I want to thank Doom Dance and Purple Planet for our music today, and be sure to check out the links to the webpage for these musicians, as well as to see the other resources about today's topic. So I'm going to give you links to Amazon.com so you can see the books that I've mentioned. And also, if you're interested in my books, my courses, the other programs that I do, you can check me out and all my links at AngelaLoeb.com. That's AngelaLoeb.com. You can send me an email through the site if you'd like. I'd really love to hear about your goals and how you're going about that and any thoughts you have philosophically about goal setting, like I was talking about at the beginning of the program. And please join me every first and third Sunday here on Be Radiant Radio, where you'll get informational and inspirational ideas on how to unleash your potential, get what you want in life, and shine like you're meant to. Until next time, be well and shine on.